We think of meditation as working on our minds in many ways. We certainly find ourselves in meditation confronted by our minds in many ways. We may have noticed since we've been here how tricky the mind can be in many ways. We tend to think of mind as one thing and body as another, which is a rather clumsy or artificial separation. We can't find our mind separate from our body. So I don't want to reinforce that separation, but I'd like to look a little bit at our body, at the body, at this body, at my body, your body, as one of the very, if not the very primary sense of ourselves. Body as the ground of our practice, tool of our practice. I'd like to look at what it is to contemplate our body. What happens as we contemplate the body? I'd like to look at a kind of deepening and expanding sense of body. And in that way, in some ways, explore the question, which may initially seem to be a rather straightforward question, but actually may, as we'll see, reveal itself to be an ultimate kind of question, a mystical, an unanswerable, actually, question. What is this body? It's a way of asking, what or who am I? What is this mysterious being aliveness? The fact of finding myself here and having a sense of body and of life that animates it. We tend to easily take our bodies for granted in many, many different ways. And meditation practice very fundamentally is orientated towards not taking our body for granted, but actually approaching it as directly as possible. We start off, when we think about body, with usually a bunch of ideas. You may have noticed since you've been here that actually contacting your body directly is not as easy as it sounds. We start off with a lot of assumptions, ideas, images, history. Our initial sense of our body tends to be, I think, in terms of gender, age, physical appearance. And then we start to think of all the bits we don't like about it, often. The bits of it that are slowly, and for some of us, be more apparent than others, depending on how, as we get older, the bits of it that are wearing out, falling off, changing colour, etc. There's a, I don't know if you knew it or if it came to Israel about 5 years ago, there was a dance song written by Baz Luhrmann, who was an Australian film director, but the words were taken from a speech to a bunch of graduating high school students. And there were some wonderful lines about in the song about the way we look at our body. One of them was, "Don't read beauty magazines. They'll only make you feel ugly." Another one was, enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. And then he says, oh, forget it. You won't appreciate the power and beauty of your youth until they're gone. And then we look back and appreciate the power and beauty of youth. That sense of finding fault with our body, living through a world of ideas about the body that seems to, you know, make it problematic. And in the surveys of people plagued by troubling body image. Someone in my family who's always worried about her body, pinching bits and to see if what they're doing, if they're wobbly or wrinkly, and kind of trying to worrying about it, wearing out, getting older. And so I try to remind her sometimes, this today is the most young, most beautiful you're ever going to be. What a tragedy to spend the time worrying about, oh, it's going downhill, it's going downhill. Yes, it's going downhill. So this is it. Today is the most fantastic condition it's ever going to be in. It's a tragedy to miss that, to miss somehow the appreciation of the extraordinariness that is our body. So just in the realm of our ideas about ourselves, it can be actually very revealing to us to explore. Explore in reflecting, you might explore in drawing. Very interesting exercise to draw our sense of our body, not as an anatomically correct exercise, not to try and produce a photographic version of ourselves, but to draw our body as we actually see it, our sense of ourselves. And to see what unconscious views there are about yourself that you put into that. So just with our ideas about our body, we start to see lots of ways that we complicate the matter and that we cause ourselves distress, that we cause ourselves suffering, anxiety, worry. As we deepen in our sense of our body, we get underneath the realm of ideas to a direct contact with the body in the way that we've been emphasizing here very much in the meditation instructions over the last day or two, over the last 4 or 5 days, those of you who've been here longer. And that sense of direct contact can wake us up in many, many startling new ways to our sense of body. We start to notice, firstly, that we don't have the kind of control we thought we had. Our body kind of, you know, we don't choose to have aching knees. We think of it as my body, like it's something I can do what I like with, lift up the arm, oh, there it goes. But it's got a whole life of its own that reacts and responds to changing circumstances. We start to see how enslaved to bodily functions we are, how enslaved to bodily sensations we are. Enslaved to pursuing pleasant sensations and enslaved to freaking out, basically, at unpleasant sensations. And how much distress, agitation, anxiety that causes us. Actually, if we really pay attention to some moment where there's heat, pressure, tension, pulsating maybe in our knee or our shoulder or our back, it's the actual physical experience of heat, pressure, and tension is unpleasant, but it's not what makes the experience unbearable. the experience, what makes it unbearable, is the freaking out. The no, the way we harden against, push against, react against, resist against. The way we spin off into the future, imagining what'll happen if I don't move. Our unwillingness to tolerate our body the way it is, to allow our body in the direct contact to show up as it is. We start to notice as we get more familiar and as we get more skilled in being actually able to rest in contact with our body, in being able to soften with our attention enough to just let our body express itself. There's a key insight in that way of connecting to the body as we start to recognize the autonomy of our body, the natural intelligence of the body. The fact that I don't need to be there all the time running the show. Breathing keeps on happening. Thank goodness. All right, how many times a day, in the course of one meditation, do you forget to breathe, about the breathing? But it keeps on happening, which is a fact so ordinary, we don't really appreciate the relevance of it. But as we inquire into, as we get really sensitive to the fact, to the direct contact with our body, there's something incredibly significant about its autonomy. The body, our body is animated by breathing. Animated more fundamentally by what? Life, consciousness, some kind, feels clumsy to give a word like life or consciousness, but animated by some kind of enlivening principle that again is so familiar to us, so close to us that we take it for granted, that we jump over it and get lost in the stories about body, the details of the body, the where this body's going, the what this body's wanting, the who this body wants to be with. So this direct connection that we emphasize in meditation is about these many insights about how we relate to our body, and most particularly, in fact, about the fact that it's animated, the fact that it's enlivened, the fact that our life is like this, present, awake, conscious, autonomous. As we settle into that, as we get more familiar with trusting our sense of bodily life through the direct contact with it, rather than through the ideas about it, the familiar sense of it, the story that tells us this is my body, it's this age, it stops here, then there's a bunch of other ones out there of different shapes and sizes and colours and genders and things. And some of them I like the look of, and some of them I'm not sure about, and etc. Right? The many, many ways our usual, habitual sense of body and bodies is reinforced endlessly throughout our life. As we deepen into... not that we refuse the capacity to see in that way, which stays completely intact for us, but we learn a wider, deeper capacity to actually trust our sense of what is bodily life. And the response to that coming from the place of direct contact. A sense of what is bodily life as a listening to its aliveness, to its movement, to its vibrational quality, to the dance and unfolding of sensation, of energetic movement in the body. as we deepen into that direct contact, our sense of body starts to expand, to not be so limited by what we sometimes could call the skin boundary, right? This familiar shape. We start to notice, and I've been referring to this a little bit at the end of the guided meditations when we open up our attention, we start to notice that our sense of body is actually more spherical than triangular. You may notice if you see pictures, particularly Eastern iconography, Hindu and Buddhist, that you often see Buddhas or saints or sages represented as sitting in a kind of sphere of light. And we start to be sensitive to the fact that our sense of our own bodily presence is bright, is rounder, brighter, and fuller than our everyday sense of things. That there's a kind of energetic interaction with the world that lights up in that spherical sense of presence, a fullness that feels like a deeply personal presence, and yet a large, expansive, interpenetrating presence, we could say. You may notice sometimes in meditation, there's some stillness, some real sensitivity, and somebody moves, coughs, some sound from outside happens, and one feels the vibration of that sound, movement, something. It doesn't impact on the physical body, but one receives the contact as a kind of vibration in the sphere of one's presence. And here we start to see the way our sense of body is larger, fuller, freer than the ideas about it, than even the direct contact to it, when somehow contained by the basic idea of body. As we get more familiar with trusting our deepening sense of our body, then again, you know, there's lots of different insights, there's lots of different changing capacities that happen in this deepening process. Our capacity to let our body be, our capacity to listen with a much greater degree of subtlety to the world of vibration, sensation, and movement in our body. And also the sense that experience doesn't need to be divided up in the habitual way in terms of inner and outer. And going along with this, what I've been calling the skin boundary, there's this rather clunky sense, which seems to make perfect sense to everyday mind, of inside and outside, here and there, me and you. But as we get sensitive, as we listen deeply, as we sense into life, we start to notice that the touches of life don't really start out there somewhere, travel through some distance, and suddenly get in here somewhere. If we really stop and listen to the movements, to the sounds in the room right now, the movement of feet on mats, sound of the air conditioning. And I sense our intimacy with listening. You may notice that common sense would tell us the sounds are out there and my hearing of them is happening over here. But if we trust our direct contact, if we listen not with our ears but with our whole being, can we really tell where the sound, so-called out there, finishes and where the hearing of it begins? We start off with it almost completely backwards. We start off with the sense that awareness, my sense of what I'm aware of, is in here somewhere, looking out at the world. Actually, as we start to really notice what's happening, we can't help but recognize that experience arises within awareness. But experience is inside awareness, that it unfolds in awareness. That this hearing, as you listen to my voice, as you hear the aircon machine, this hearing's happening inside our awareness of it, which brings our participation in life into a much greater sense of intimacy, participation, non-separation. As we look out at one another, sitting here, as you looked out this evening, as somebody was telling me, and the kind of the glinting quality of the light when you were out walking this afternoon, as we find ourselves touched by anything that we see, hear, smell, taste, touch, remember, imagine, where does that experience happen? It happens within our knowing of it, within awareness. It can be quite hard to get with visual consciousness because of the familiarity of the sense of the depth of field, the here and there-ness that seems to go with seeing. But right now, where is this seeing happening? It's happening in awareness. It couldn't be happening anywhere else. If it wasn't in awareness, it wouldn't be experience. We couldn't recognize it. We couldn't know it. From the ideas of body to the contact with the physical aspect of body to the sense of the spherical energetic presence of body to the ever-expanding interpenetrating sense of body that leaves nothing out. What we could call the body of our awareness. The body of our awareness in which seen experience, heard experience, felt experience arises right here. An extraordinary sensual contact, a contact so close that close, the word close makes it sound too far away. Here we arise with each other. there's nothing more intimate than here. Right here. And here, as we see, as we hear, as we experience, here is vast, is limitless. Here is undetermined by time or space. Everything we experience is within awareness. Awareness doesn't have location. It's that turning around of this initial sense, may be hard to follow. Initial sense awareness of something, some tiny thing, usually somewhere in here, somewhere, looking out, trying to make sense of it all. A sense of awareness being the container, we could say, of all that's known, all that's seen, all that's heard. And that expanding sense of body as containing, reminded of the quote of Walt Whitman, "I am vast, I contain multitudes." That sense of body as being vast, incredibly inclusive, actually endlessly, limitlessly inclusive. Arising here, happening here, fading away here. So we might have that sense that of body in this naturally expanding progression. So what I'm explaining isn't a kind of arbitrary sense list of maybes. Maybe the body goes like this, like that. It's actually how, in a pretty clear, reliable, and reproducible way, as reported by thousands of people who've really, really explored the body of consciousness, we could say. This progression of deepening, opening, widening sense of things is what happens. This sense of interpenetration, this sense of all things arising within the body of awareness. We have the sense that we're in touch with vastness. We're in touch with limitlessness. As we settle into that, that sense that we have very, very strongly in us of being apart from, of being the observer of life, starts to reveal itself as a bit ridiculous. The idea, the habitual idea that I am somehow apart from life looking at it, the very observing of that vastness, the very looking, the very hearing, the very participating is also included. It's not that we're in touch with vastness. It's that rather we are that vastness. We are this arising. We are this revealing. We're not intimate with what's seen, what's heard, what's experienced. Rather, this unfolding is our true nature. We are life awakening to itself. And our every experience actually is the confirmation of that. This is life awakening to itself, life exploring itself, life delighting in itself. As we recognize that, both suddenly, in moments of seeing extraordinarily clearly, and seeing the veils and postures of our habitual ways of seeing falling away, to the shock, the revelation of our inclusion in life, of our vastness in life. So both suddenly in those kind of moments and gradually, as our deepening understanding gets more and more integrated in our actual participation in life. Then increasingly, we experience a sense of relief, ease, delight, joy, and availability to life. It's unimaginable to us in everyday mind how much energy we expend in defending ourselves from the rest of life, in holding ourselves apart from the rest of life, in maintaining the painful, illusory sense of separation. As that separation dissolves, both suddenly, in the sudden dropping of the veils in moments of mystical experience, and gradually, as that mystical experience gets somehow more and more normalized in our being, which is what happens. When we first experience those kind of bang flash moments, you can look to your own experience to see the ways in which moments in your life of deep experience, then they seem extraordinary, amazing. But actually, as those experiences become more common, there's a kind of normality to that. There's a lovely saying in Zen, first mountains are mountains and rivers are rivers. And then, this is a bit of a misquote, I can't remember exactly, then mountains and rivers become the great effulgent manifestation of life's divine unfolding. Something like that. And then, mountains are mountains again, and rivers are rivers again. People sometimes, in practicing Dharma, for the first year or two of serious committed practice, experience lots of effulgence, lots of bangs and flashes, lots of dharmic fireworks, lots of cosmic experiences. And then they seem to dry up a bit. And they come and complain to the teacher like it's our fault. Those great experiences, where have they gone? Actually, it's often that what starts off as what we call a peak experience, it's that we go from kind of everyday dull level of mind to some peak experience. It's not so much that the peaks stop happening, but more our general level of consciousness widens, deepens, gets more expansive and inclusive, so that what seemed at one point to be a great rarefied peak becomes more and more our normal sense of things. And the more expansive our sense of being, the more inclusive our sense of body, to the point of limitlessly inclusive, the more room there is for a depth of contact with life, a depth of appreciation for life, a depth of response to life, a depth of sensitivity to what's happening in life, a depth of authentic understanding of life, a depth of capacity to respond, to act, to recognize, to meet, to delight in, to play in life. The more our heart expands, the more it can expand, the more it can open, and even the more it can break, the more capacity we have to tolerate the suffering of the world. Usually, everyday mind, suffering is too much for us. We either try to shut it out, bury it, hide from it, deny it, or we try to rush towards the solution, wrestling with it, fighting with it, stressing with it. Our expanding sense of being allows us to meet suffering, to feel suffering, to have our heart broken open by suffering. But a heart that's so vast that it can't be destroyed, that it can't be damaged, that it can feel infinitely deeply without truly being hurt. This practice is one of meeting ourselves where we are, our bodies, mind, heart. And by exploring this progression, I hope to give some context for recognition for those of you who recognize the ways in which some of this deepening and expanding is happening and has happened for you. And also to give some flavor to those of you kind of putting your toes in the water of this practice for the first time, to have a sense in which meeting, in the context of this talk, our body as we find it, is an ever opening doorway, an ever expanding possibility. And that deepening, that expansion, always has its possibility right where we are. We don't jump. We don't have a normal sense of body or body, and then we have some great cosmic view that we'd like to get to. We can't get to it. Where could we go? If deep understanding reveals to us that it's all here, that it's all here, that this unfolding is life's rest, resolution, manifestation, fulfillment, where could we go to get to that? We're dreadful goers, desperate to go to something, get to something. If only we could go somewhere, I'd love to take you there. If only we could get something, I'd love to give it to you. But bad news is I can't. Good news is it's here. Listen to your body. Listen to your heart. Listen to what's happening. Listen so deeply that you allow yourself to drop into an ever-expanding sense of what this mysterious participation in life is, so that each one of us can recognize its fulfillment, know our own fulfillment. This is the promise and the invitation of our time here. Okay, friends, thank you for listening.